interested to hear, Newsman, if you have any weird eating traits. We'll get to it in a minute, but this week we learn about the just straight up crazy eating habits of some of the most famous people in the world.
Famous people, they just have to do things differently, don't they?
You wonder if that's part of it. And some of these I'll quickly run through. Some of them you wonder if they're not just making it up just to be outrageous. I don't know. Tell me what you think. Steve Jobs. He claimed that the name of his company, Apple, mm-hmm. was inspired by what he was eating at the time. He was on, this is his quote, one of my fruitarian diets.
Mm.
I think he was just eating fruit only.
Okay.
Had come back from the apple farm, and he thought, bingo, that's that's what I'm going to call the company. But that was his fruitarian phase was one of the less weird phases. He was vegan most of his life, most of his adult life. He dabbled with the fruitarian diet and would spend weeks at a time eating just one or two foods, like he would only eat apples or carrots. He thought that would neutralize body odor and meant he didn't have to wear deodorant. according to his official biography, a lot of his co-workers disagreed.
Ah.
He would just stop eating as well a lot of times.
Right.
He said he would savor the euphoria and ecstasy of fasting.
Wow, I didn't realize he was such a weirdo.
He was out there, Jerry. So, wonder what if any impact that had on his health.
Yeah, yeah. And imagine if the timing of his creation of the company, whether he'd been eating something else at the time.
Yes.
Like, oh, I've got the latest fish fingers phone. Or the carrot 8. Doesn't have the same sort of iPhone carrot 8.
Carrot could have been a real possibility. By the sounds of it, what a different world we would live in. All right, this guy, famous author/writer/maniac, Hunter S. Thompson.
Mm.
This is what he claimed to have for breakfast. And if you know his backstory, he was a drug addict.
Right.
So I don't know if this is actually true and this is what he needed to just cleanse his body of all the chemicals that were in it, or if he's just having us on. But anyway, he's passed now, but what he claimed to eat for breakfast was this: 4 Bloody Marys, 2 grapefruits, a pot of coffee, crepes, a half pound of either sausage, bacon, or corned beef hash with diced chilies, a Spanish omelette or eggs Benedict, a quart of milk, a chopped lemon, a slice of key lime pie, 2 margaritas, and 6 lines of the best cocaine. Is that for real?
I don't know. The thing that strikes me. So he's eating all of that?
All of that every day.
That's volume. Like, that's a lot to get down.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess if you've been had a massive night on the drugs, you need replenishment.
And then maybe if you don't eat again for the rest of the day, like if that's maybe you're consuming your whole day's food in one sitting at first thing, and he probably wasn't getting up at dawn, let's be honest. This is probably like a midday thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has puzzled me for a long time. Side note, how much is a quart?
What was it in measurement to?
A quart of milk.
That'd be, I don't know.
I have to look that up. Should have looked it up.
Quarter of before. A gallon? I don't know.
A quarter of a gallon? Who knows? Maybe. Jackie Onassis.
Yes.
Would eat 1 baked potato a day, stuffed with beluga caviar and sour cream.
And that's it.
I don't know if that was it.
Oh.
She might have had more, but she had to have that. Although she did then watch the scales with, quote, the rigor of a diamond merchant counting his carrots. If she went over her usual weight, she would just stop eating until she got back to what she was.
It's such a conflict of images, isn't it? A baked potato with the sour cream and caviar.
Yeah.
I don't know. The two don't... Like, the caviar doesn't seem surprising for her, but mash it in with a baked potato.
You know, it's like a real slum dish, you know? Let's have just a spud.
Yep.
we'll class it up with some caviar.
Thing I saw that at the show this year.
Well, exactly.
Baked potato with caviar.
Yeah.
Went down well.
If she knew they existed, she probably would have been right into the Dagwood Dogs.
Stuff with caviar.
Yeah. I like this one. Marlon Brando.
Well, yeah.
He was a large man, at least by the end of his life, from memory.
Mm.
He was known to eat peanut butter by the jar full. Okay. I can imagine that being, you know, kind of nice and enjoyable for the first, like, 2 spoonfuls.
Yeah.
Takes some real commitment to polish off a jar.
I reckon I could go... No, I couldn't go a whole jar of Nutella. I love Nutella.
Oh.
But I'd probably, yeah, 2 or 3 spoonfuls and you're done, I reckon.
Even halfway through a jar of anything and you'd be thinking, bad decision, bad call by me. Anyway, he's pushed on. He'd polish off a jar of that. He'd eat boxes of cinnamon buns. His breakfasts were also huge. Cornflakes, sausages, eggs, bananas, cream, pancakes, maple syrup. And he would eat up to 6 hot dogs at a time.
Sheesh.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that must have been in his later days.
Yep. Last one, David Lynch, the Twin Peaks guy,
mm-hmm.
among other things, but, you know, most recently, the reboot of Twin Peaks. He was the man doing that. He claims, some of this sounds outlandish, David Lynch claims to have began drinking coffee at the age of 3.
What? Yeah.
He's elderly. He's an elderly gentleman. So, you know, maybe this was a long time ago. Maybe we weren't aware of what caffeine did. Maybe that was normal. He was drinking at one stage 20 cups a day. Now averages 10.
Conservative, pulled it back.
But his cup size has increased.
Oh, okay.
So who knows? This is how you can pick a good coffee. He would know. It should have no bitterness and it should be smooth and rich in flavour. I like to drink espresso with milk, like a latte or a cappuccino, but the espresso should have a golden foam. Not being picky or anything.
Hmm.
It can be so beautiful.
All right, sounds like we need to confess a few sins.
What's your worst?
Well, I think I'm a very plain conservative eater these days. There wouldn't be anything on my menu in a 7-day roster that would really raise eyebrows. When I was a kid, though, and please don't judge me. But
I already am.
For some reason, I used to always eat the wrappers of lollies. So I'd eat the minty, then I'd eat the wrapper.
Okay.
So I think I used to, I think it stemmed from not wanting to put it in the bin, so I just shoved it in my mouth and ate it.
I was not expecting you to say this. When we were talking about weird things we ate, I thought restricted to food. So, and did this make you ill?
No, it's had no, well, I don't know, but it hasn't had impact on me, but yeah.
I guess they're kind of paper, aren't they?
Yeah, they were paper wrappers. They weren't plastic.
You weren't eating the tin foil.
Not Easter egg foil or anything like that. So yeah, minty wrappers. I used to shove them in after eating the minty.
How old did when you dropped that?
Oh, I can't remember. I've sort of 32? Had a few brain issues since then, but no. And I used to snack on dry pasta. So there'd be a jar of spaghetti, and just after school, I think it was the crunchiness. There's no flavour to it, but
sounds awful.
Glad I brought them up. I thought they were just okay.
It's like eating spiky shards of something. Man.
Yeah. Yep. So that was my diet when I was younger.
I was
wrappers, lolly wrappers, and spaghetti.
Spaghetti. I was going to confess to like the squirty cream out of a can.
Yeah.
It's probably illegal these days. I loved that. I would just put that on top of cereal and, you know, eat that.
Yep.
That seems like not bizarre at all now. Hey, newsman, a lot of times we talk about the potentially catastrophic, world-ending problems with artificial intelligence. We've talked about it before, like what happens if, you know, the computers
take over the world.
Yeah, and start launching nukes on their own.
Start thinking for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Knock people out of jobs and decision making, important decision making.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, Terminator 2 stuff as well.
Like exactly.
They enslave humans at some point, probably.
Mm. Or against the machines.
Yeah. A more overlooked problem with technology, but you know, but still a problem, is, and there's no real way around it, I've just got to say it, that a lot of the cutting edge AI is just straight out racist.
Racist?
Racist.
Now, you're going to have to expand because I'm hoping it's a, sort of an accidental, it's a glitch in technology that's caused this. Or
well,
is it just a failure to recognize all, you know, all races? What's going on?
I guess it is a glitch, but I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? Like, if it's a glitch, like,
fix it.
Yeah. This has come up because this week we found out a bit more info about the latest iPhone and how good that is. And it sort of stands in contrast to how bad some of the other stuff has been before. So before we get to the new phone, let's look back at some of the bad stuff. Microsoft launched an AI chatbot on Twitter. So it's like a robot Twitter account.
Okay.
And basically the more people tweeted to this chatbot and spoke to it, the smarter it got. So it learned from what people were saying to it, basically.
Good.
So it started out as a very innocent, pleasant chatbot, tweeting things like, quote, humans are super cool.
It seems like in movies, you know, robots that are learning as they go, the big question is, what is love? Did it ask that?
I'm not sure if it asked about love, but within less than 24 hours, it had turned into a full-blown Nazi. It was it was tweeting like Hitler stuff, and I'm not even going to read out what it started tweeting. But
so, you know, basically, because the content going in, there was a lot of racist comments being made by other people. It learnt that this was part of the world, and this is what it could communicate.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, probably a bit of a reflection on humans using Twitter as well, unfortunately. But anyway, it got caught up in it, and you'd say it was, you know, if there is a bad Twitter crowd out there, this chatbot was well and truly caught up in it. A Nigerian man reported an auto soap dispenser in a public toilet. Put your hand out and the soap just comes out. He tweeted a video about a racist automatic soap dispenser because it would shoot soap out into a white person's hand, but when he put his black hand under it, no soap.
So it didn't recognize a different skin color.
Yeah, it was sort of like he was sort of invisible to the robot.
Yeah.
Not good.
Really. No.
Similar problem with
to me, that's just, if I'm assuming, just lazy tech. Like whoever's created this has just gone, all right, this is the standard color that this thing needs to pick up.
Who knows? Because everything is so much more complicated than we would think.
Yeah.
But did they not test it? I mean.
Yeah, that's it. Let's try different people.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Same thing with a Google app that would automatically categorize photos. You know, you upload your photos and it would scan what was in the photo and sort of tag it accordingly. Unfortunately, it was categorizing black people as gorillas.
Totally offensive.
A guy tweeted, hey, this thing has just tagged me and my friends as gorillas.
Yeah.
And a really top guy from Google tweeted back really quickly, okay, this is 100% not okay. They said they were appalled that it happened and they took immediate steps to prevent it. But still, you know, like the glitch you're talking about, too late, it happened. And if it was like a glitch that resulted in, you know, triggering a nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Oh, sorry, guys, but, you know, too late.
Hmm.
The damage is done. That same program was categorizing all kinds of people based on skin tones, etc., as dogs and all kinds of weird things. So, tech fail. Hewlett-Packard had an early facial recognition system. Couldn't recognize black people either.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops. Now we get to the new Apple phone, Apple 10. It's got Face ID.
Okay.
A lot of people nervous. Okay, we've seen all these examples. Hasn't worked out well. What's going to happen with Apple? And they apparently have done some serious work on making sure the Face ID on this phone is not racist.
Okay.
Whole complicated program that I don't understand they went through to make sure. But what it did involve was inputting 1 billion photos. That's a fair few photos.
Would they be... where would they get these photos? Would it be people that have signed on to the...
I don't know. Yeah. They've probably been going through all our private images.
That's another debate. But yeah, that's a good base. That's a huge base.
It is massive, isn't it? And they're so confident in it. It's so good, this technology, that before you could... like if I held up a photo of your face...
Mm.
On your phone, which was Face ID. So, you know, I steal your phone. I've got a photo of you. I can unlock your phone with a photo of you.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
Not this one. Trained to spot and resist spoofing against attempts to unlock your phone with photos or masks. So it can even tell if it's not the real person.
I wouldn't have even thought of that. That's devious. Did you come up with that?
No, I'm not devious. Fake face?
Yeah.
No.
Little photo. That's good.
So yeah, we're getting better, I guess, is probably the bottom line there.
I love all this stuff. I love it. It's so futuristic. What I dreamt of as a kid, with all these high tech things that were very spy-like, very James Bond. They're all happening, but you got to get it right, as you've sort of outlined there.
Going deep right now, newsman, but I don't even care because that's just how we do it.
Pretty much, we really get in touch with our emotions here.
Yes, our emotions and beyond.
Philosophy and life.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Right now, we're taking a look at what actually happens when you die.
Okay.
Reports of a study going around this week, people looking at... near-death experiences. And it was actually the headline on this thing is what grabbed me. And the actual article, I'll just put it out there, probably not, you know, it's probably not your most legit, you know, solid factual thing, but it raises some interesting points. And how can you resist? This is the headline on top of the thing. When you die, you know you're dead. And then there's a subhead. Scientists discover the mind still works after the body shows no sign of life and reveal people have heard their own death announced by medics. So you'll forgive me for clicking on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're saying we know that we have died.
So bizarre. You just get that last little...
Yeah.
Tim, that was silly to... He shot out of a cannon, but he passed away. He missed the net.
Yeah, exactly. apparently that the time of death is taken from when the heart stops beating.
Mm.
But the brain keeps going for a little while. Not much longer. They say, this doctor says, once that happens, that is, the heart stops beating, blood no longer circulates to the brain, which means the brain function halts almost instantaneously. You lose all your brain stem reflexes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cerebral cortex, which is where we do our thinking and processing info from this, all our senses, flat lines. That all happens within 2 to 20 seconds.
So you got 20 seconds to...
Well, no, you've got longer because that happens within 20 seconds, but the brain cells don't start to die.
Till they dry out.
For potentially, they say it can take hours.
Hours.
So who knows what it really means. But the idea that some little part of you is still sitting inside of your head, you know, it's like everyone's like evacuated the building, but you're just still in there. You're the last one to leave. Just, and there's a little moment where you're just in there by yourself.
If this is the case, Web Guy, imagine some of the conversations people have heard in that last few minutes of consciousness.
Well, yeah. And we can get an idea of it from these near-death experiences where people go into cardiac arrest, they technically die, they come back and they report conversations that they heard the nurses and the doctors having. And this report is saying this: the study that they've done, in some of those cases, the medical staff have corroborated what the near-deathers report.
Okay.
So they say, yeah, no, well, that actually matches up with what was happening. But the ones who cross over, so to speak, that it's not actually near death, it is actual total death.
Mm.
We don't know. We obviously can't get those stories from those people. You got to wait your turn, which is a bit
so. Weird. Just recapping, so these people pronounced dead by a medical team, then somehow are revived.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And in that time, they've heard conversations.
Yeah.
They're like, who's paying the bill for this guy?
saying, well, I might just quickly take that watch. No one knows.
That's it. Well, that's interesting. So it's a bit like, I was going to say something. It's got nothing that would link with this whatsoever. But like chopping a head off a chicken, the body still has.
Yeah.
Can still run around.
Yeah. Similar thing in a way, isn't it?
In that, there's still life after death.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
I have a couple ideas of what might happen.
Yes.
Firstly, I have no idea, really.
Mm.
But one, I mean, it could be what happens after we die. It could be exactly like what it was like before we were born.
Okay, so
whatever that was.
So what would that be like?
Who knows? Maybe it was nothing, or maybe it was just something that that we can't understand while we're in our human form. I kind of like to think the idea of coming back as something else.
Okay.
I think that's, in a way, I kind of hope it's true.
Hmm. So reincarnation?
Yeah, newsman, if you want to put a label on it.
So what would you, who or what would you like to come back as?
Oh, probably LeBron James.
LeBron James. Okay.
No, I don't know. I'm just
skilled, athletic, rich.
It would be good to come back as a panther.
A panther?
Yeah. I imagine panthers have a fairly nice life.
Yeah.
You know, the human life is really probably the pinnacle.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But once you've been a human, can you come back as a human again?
Yeah, I'd say I haven't looked into this. But I would be thinking of slowly downgrading the model. So you start up a person, you go to a panther, then you're a guinea pig, then you're a mouse, then you're a cockroach.
You go backwards, you're saying?
Yeah.
You reach the peak and then you go backwards.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or is it the other way around? You go, what's bigger than, what's greater than human being?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so a panther or LeBron James for you?
Well, what's your theory?
I grew up in a religious house, so there's a inbuilt or learnt feeling like there might be life after death, and that's a nice feeling.
Mm.
I think it is. If it's not something totally logical, it's something that gives you a little hope that maybe you'll see people that have passed, and that good times are around the corner. Because at the moment it sucks. Nah. But I think that's how people enjoy it, is that there could be better times once you're past the finish line.
Yeah, but isn't the trade-off, it could be better times. You could be heading for party time.
Or you could be
heading eternal, for not party time.
Eternal hotness and evilness.
Anyway, these are all questions to mull over. We don't need to answer them right now. For now, all we need to know is that your brain doesn't immediately switch off.
So if you're listening to this podcast at the bedside of someone who is about to pass, don't laugh at any of our jokes because they'll hear and think you're being distasteful.
Yeah, exactly. Be polite.
Be polite.
Remember to keep your manners in because you never know who's listening.
Much like a microphone, don't say anything you wouldn't say in front of your mother yes. when you're in front of a microphone.
Yeah.
The same can be said about a corpse.
I found a list this week, Newsman, of the words that everyone is mispronouncing. They're actually billed as the words that even smart people mispronounce.
Okay, well, in my job, you come across a lot of them. And it's only until you have to read things out loud for people to judge you that you realise how many can trip you up. So I won't be surprised by any of those, but go ahead.
Totally agree that it's not until you have to pronounce it out loud that some of these words do you realise all of a sudden, hang on, I mean, you've read it.
You can read it. You process the definition, yeah. But can you say them?
Yes. So this is right up your alley. You're the pro at this. I had a look at this list and there's quite a few of them and I thought, well, that's not how I say it. And there's a funny thing here as well about what is correct by the letter and what is, you know, how everyone says it. I would personally rather just say it how everyone commonly agrees it's said rather than be the guy who's, you know, by dictionary definition correct, but sounds like a weirdo.
You're almost like a pariah if you stand by your digs and you say, like, this is how it's said. Because no one really cares. They're like, nah, get stuffed. This is how all of
yeah.
We all say it like this. Yeah. So even if you're correct,
yeah.
Get stuffed.
What's that famous champagne brand? Oh, I'm having a mental blank. Oh, God, it'll come back to me.
Yep.
Here's the list that's circulating. I'll say it. You tell me if I've got it right or wrong. Transient.
I'd say that was right.
It has two syllables, not three, so it's transient.
Transient.
Not transient. Transient.
Right, okay.
See, that sounds dumb.
Yeah, yep. Thumbs down to the correct.
This is how I say
it. Who's the authority in this? Or
Reader's Digest.
Okay. Oh, there.
So maybe there's a bit of... Maybe there might be an American influence as well. But anyway, I would say status.
Or so they're saying it's status?
They're saying it should be status.
I think I vary. I think I'm sort of whatever comes out.
You can swing either way on that one?
Swinging with a... Status. Yeah, okay.
I would say prelude.
Yes.
So I think some people might say prelude. Maybe that's an American one. They say prelude is incorrect. The proper pronunciation is prelude.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Good. You're on.
I think we're okay.
You're on the board. We're on the board.
Oh, this is a ripper. This one, you know, on the internet, they talk about you just blew my mind. Hashtag mind blown.
Yes.
This one did actually blow my mind. I have always said valet. So, you know, you hand your keys over to the person and they valet parking? Yeah, valet parking.
What, V-A-L?
E-T.
E-T. And you think, oh, I'll give it a bit of a French zhuzh. Valet.
I've never tried to give it a French zhuzh. I just thought that's how it was. Here we go. It's not a French word. So pronouncing the last syllable as A-Y, A, is incorrect.
Yep.
It should be valet.
That's
valet. Maybe valet.
Well, who's going to get parking if it's valet parking? Yeah. Doesn't sound nice.
No, this is one. This is one of the ones where... You don't want to be correct on that one because you're the only person saying it that way.
Yeah.
I think this one bamboozled me as well. Forte. It's not my forte.
Mm-hmm.
If you're discussing someone's forte, as in a strength, the E is silent. Forte is correct only if you're using it as a musical term. So they're saying it should be forte.
So the volume of music, yeah, forte.
So pronunciation is not my forte would be a correct sentence.
You're ruining it. You're ruining everything for me.
All right. What's that saying about to err is human or something?
Yeah.
So err, I always thought it means, you know, to make an error.
Yeah.
Apparently some people say maybe are saying air because they say, no, it doesn't rhyme with hair. It rhymes with her. So I had that one right. Err. Not air.
Oh.
Maybe that's American.
Air of judgment.
Gala.
Yep.
Gala.
Gala. Some galas are gala. Gala, okay.
Applicable is how I would say it.
Yep.
The first syllable is the only one that should be emphasized, as in applicable rather than applicable. I think that's splitting hairs there.
Yeah. stick with yourself there. But.
Spherical. Apparently some people call it spherical. That's a bad word. If you're saying spherical.
Mm. But you could understand why if you hadn't. You're going, oh, there's a sphere.
True, it is a sphere, yeah.
Spherical.
This is a good one. The colour mauve. It once rhymed with... I note that you're holding fire on all these.
No, well, it's hard when you can't see the words. So I'm trying to sort of...
I am
You've got the power. You've got the list.
I'm ambushing you with this. I was hoping you would jump in and get... and
mauve,
and expose that you're incorrect on a lot of them.
Well, you know it's probably true, so...
No. Mauve once rhymed with stove. So maybe the way we pronounce this word is changing... Now the AU is sounded as an OR, AW, OR, so mauve.
Is that what it's supposed to be?
They're saying, I think they're saying contemporary pronunciation has moved away from mauve, it's now mauve.
And then there's mauve. Sorry.
I don't like that one. Quasi.
Quasi?
Yeah, now it's quasi. Although they say today it's pronounced quasi, but it's more correct to say quasi.
Quasi. Quasi. Believe in that.
Now, comptroller.
Comptroller?
Not a word I remember ever using.
No.
But it's got to do with finances. And they seem to be suggesting that she doesn't troll computers. She controls finances. So... the title is technically pronounced controller. So even though it's spelt with an M for Mike, they are saying it should be controller. I would dispute that.
Oh, Reader's Digest, you're doing my head in.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of those are a bit iffy, but this famous wine brand, Moët. Yeah, that's a long-running debate, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Because I think it's spelt with a T, you read it and you would want to say Moët. But that, if you say that, it's become like a signal of your, you know, your ignorance. Like only a buffoon would not know that it's Moe. Seems to be like the common thought. But then I remember visiting the place. They have a cellador in Victoria, and you do the tour, and they say it's pronounced Moët. Or something, like you actually do pronounce the T, or it's got some weird pronunciation. So, but I feel like if you say it like that, you'll raise eyebrows.
Words and language, people become fiercely judgmental and get up on their soapbox about everything. But to me, everyone has flaws in the way they speak, the way they deliver language. So it just opens up debate. And I guess if you're strong enough about any... stance, you can convince anyone. But one I thought of, orangutan, I believe. Oh, yeah. Some like to say, you know, it's from the orangutan.
Orangutan.
Yes. And I find also Russian tennis players' names and country names. People like to Nepal. I know locals say Nepal, apparently.
Nepal.
I heard someone come back and go, it's more Nepal.
Okay. Oh, well, they would know.
They're no longer my Nepal.
Do you know what word I can't pronounce? It's a state in the US, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Yeah, see, I always want to say Massachusetts, but like there's a T in there and Massachusetts. Actually, yep. That's not even the worst one. The one that really stumps me is February. February.
Yeah.
I want to say February.
Yeah.
But I'm missing it. I know there's an R in there.
February.
February.
Yeah.
If I think about it too much, I can't get it out at all properly.
For me, reading the news, pretty much any word with more than two syllables, I'm in a lot of trouble.